I've been blamed for preaching long here, but I've never been blamed for someone else preaching long in Puerto Rico. Talk about influence, that is frightening. I hope he didn't tell his people why he overfed them on a Sunday morning. All right, Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, we'll start with verse 5. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask blessing on the mothers here in attendance, especially the faithful mothers, the godly mothers, for their influence and their impact on lives. I ask you would honor it, you would use it, and you would spread it. Now help us as we look at your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the order of Abia, and his wife, Elizabeth, her wife of the, I'm sorry, just a minute. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. We have two people here. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest of Israel. He was a descendant of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi. They and they alone were to serve in the temple. He had a wife, Elizabeth. She had a similar background, not just a Levite, but also a descendant of Aaron, is a daughter of Aaron. She had a similar heritage, and they were husband and wife. Now, I want to speak a little on Elizabeth this morning and draw some lessons that may be helpful to us on Mother's Day. Elizabeth is to be honored as the mother of John the Baptist. God in heaven was about to send his son Jesus to earth by means of the virgin birth and Mary to live a sinless and holy life, to teach, preach, and show how to live, to perform miracles to document he was who he was, and then to one day die and shed his blood to pay for my sins and yours, and to be buried, and to rise the third day, and 40 days later to ascend back up into heaven. These events are rather well known. But before Jesus started his earthly ministry, God had prophesied and ordained that there'd be a preacher who'd help prepare the way, for Jesus had only preached for roughly 3 years. And somebody had to get the people's hearts ready for Jesus. And so Zacharias and Elizabeth were selected to have a child and to raise that child for a godly purpose. Not survive a child. Not just raise a child, as we hear so much about today. But to develop a child that could do what God wanted in preparing people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God from heaven selected parents well able to do such a thing. Not all parents produce the same kind of products out of their home. And most parents don't seem all that concerned about any product other than one that'll do well financially. Well, John the Baptist didn't do well financially, but he sure did well spiritually. And he had a people, the Lord Jesus. So these two are selected. We want to focus today on Elizabeth and the part she played. Her preparation, and what made her the fit mother for somebody God intended to use down the road. What could she do? What could she be that would help produce what God wanted and intended to use? We see she's married in a rather uncomfortable marriage. By the world's standards, the Jewish people had all been given land and properties as an inheritance, with the exception of the tribe of Levi, and especially the priests. For the Old Testament said the Lord was to be their inheritance, and they would have to trust on the Lord rather than making a good way for themselves in the promised land. Now, a marriage to somebody that's trusting just in the Lord instead of making their way financially among Jewish people or maybe even Americans might seem to be a curious choice in marriage. Elizabeth had grown up this way. She'd been taught some this way. She was of the daughters of Aaron. And so her childhood preparation helped her to be able to adjust to this kind of life. Another problem that would be in the marriage is that the husband wouldn't be home every night. Zacharias was of the group called Abijah. God had divided in the Old Testament the priesthood into various courses or groups, and they would have to leave their homes such as they had scattered over Israel and go to Jerusalem and serve at the temple for weeks. And then after that, be going back home. Some wives, they don't have hubby at home. They wonder if they really have a marriage. And Elizabeth entered into this knowing that her husband would be about God's work and God's business at another place, after which he'd return home. That tells us a little bit about the marriage and a little bit about the wife, doesn't it? Try to fit that with how we have things today. You put in your hours, you be home. I need you at home. We've got to have you there. God said, that's the kind of home that I'm going to have raise John the Baptist. For the work of God rises in precedence and priority above that of family relations. I'm not opposed to family. If you know me, you ought to know that. But the home as a training ground needs to keep its priorities right. And the service of God ranks above that of the comforts of human relationships. Elizabeth would have to be faithful while her husband be gone, or he'd be disqualified and lose his position. He had to be faithful. They could count on each other, and they didn't have doubts and worries and fears. They could just get on. But let me take you through some of the rest of the chapter because I think it'll help us to better understand Elizabeth as the mother of John the Baptist in verse number 6. They were both righteous before God, not just in front of people, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. Let me tell you, it applied to Zacharias, but we're looking at Elizabeth. She was a holy woman. She was righteous. And God knew she was righteous. People might think somebody is and not know the whole story. And they get disillusioned when they find out the rest of the story. But God knew the whole story and that she was a holy woman. She lived to be holy. I want to be holy, just like the Lord, a righteous woman. She was a moral woman. She walked in all the commandments of the Lord. The first part of the commandments had to do with moral, spiritually with God, without which there's spiritual adultery. The last part of the commandments had to do with morals towards man, not just in the matter of thou shalt not commit adultery, but thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, honor thy father and thy mother. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Had to walk morally clean and right before man in the physical realm. Spiritually and physically, she was moral and clean. And then the ordinances of God. Oh, there were so many ordinances. And who'd know them better than the Levites, who were to teach them and lead in them, and especially those that were the descendants of Aaron. And when it came to faithfulness and commitment and consistency in religious duty, she was blameless. Holy, moral, and faithful. That tells us something about this lady, doesn't it? She was prepared to have such a child. And they had no child. No blessed footsteps around the house. No baby's cry, no child's laughter, no child's learning to speak. I remember on one of ours, we were in a hurry for him to speak, and it wasn't too many months later we wondered why we were in such a hurry. None of that to enjoy or to chuckle at home. An empty nest. No child. But notice there was no child because she was barren. It was not a choice. We have a generation today that are deciding against children. Maybe it's because they don't want to go through the terror of abortion to get rid of them. They just never have any. And they somehow try to turn that and make it a spiritual thing. But God had left them barren with desires and hopes. But no child. What a heartache. And now they're well stricken in years. They're old. And no children. No grandchildren, no great-grandchildren. The line is coming to an end. And they're beyond any human hope of anything being done. And it came to pass that he executed the priest's office. He is in Jerusalem. She was home. And God met with him. Most of you know the story of how God met and helped, but he's away on duty. And she's at home. You say, God not going to bless man. It's not at home at night. God blessed this man where he was ministering to the Lord. because that's what God wanted him doing. He was just obeying the Bible. Now we'll slip over for the sake of time. Go to verse 23. Verse number 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he came in the days wherein the days he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. I think I turned a page too many. Yes. He departed to his own house. As soon as he was done working, he headed home. He had a wife there. He'd been told miraculously there'd be a son, despite all biological expectations. And of course, it'd been a long and hard time, no child. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. She had something to say, but she didn't go out bragging. It's an honorable thing to have a child. It's a blessed thing. But it needs to be done with a sense of honor, modesty, humility. And we are seeing an increase in the vulgarity of speech and behavior over a child. Not as a gift from the Lord and his heritage to be reared in such a way as to be used of God, but as some vulgar explanation. Oh, things that have gone through my ears and did cross my eyes make me almost shudder as people don't understand that the old ways are the best ways and God's ways are always right. But here's what she had to say as she hid herself these first 5 months. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. How humble, how gracious, how thankful, how blessed the Lord has enabled. Evolution has been so taught to deny creation and the Creator that it simply becomes a biological issue. Without morals or holiness or humility, it has created a culture that's ill prepared to produce the laborers for God in the future. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the reward of the womb is his reward. Oh, if we could lay hold on that, we could understand some of these things. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, I just stopped there. 5 months she hid herself. 6 months, God sends word to Mary that she's going to have a son. Now, this was before they had these tests to find out whether it's a boy or a girl. But when God tells you, you know ahead of time. And if it turns out wrong, don't blame God. Just blame your thought God told you. Used to be they didn't know till they were born for sure. My wife protested that our first child was a daughter. She just simply told the doctor, Renos don't have daughters. Of course, I was one of five boys, which my mother did mourn. Not because we were the boys or what we had did, of course, but she never got a daughter. She desperately wanted one. And Kellen could hardly grasp that such was so. But they knew ahead of time. God had told it. You know the story about Mary and what came and how the angel dealt with her and how she wondered about it. And finally she's told that her cousin Elizabeth is expecting, and everybody knew that wasn't possible anymore. And if God could do it for the older lady, he sure could do it for the young lady. He just did it differently, for different reasons, for different results. Not all children ought to turn out the same. God doesn't intend it that way. But he does intend for them to have a place and to have such parentage and raising that they can amount to something for the glory of God. Quickly, turn to verse 36 for the sake of time. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. God said Elizabeth was old. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. She was, but no longer. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Some of you mothers need that verse. Because you may be looking at impossible circumstances. Hopes that seem totally impossible. But with the help of God, nothing shall be impossible. You say, well, I'd like to, but God says, I'll take care of all the difficulties and circumstances. You be faithful. Elizabeth, God was faithful. Mary, without any man, God was faithful. And God can be faithful in your home and the raising of your children if you just realize God has the power. And if he desires something, he's well able to see it all the way through. Oh, just trust in a God who's worthy of being trusted. He is God. Let's go a little farther on this. We'll skip on past verse 38. We'll look at verse 39. And Mary rose in those days and went unto the hill country with haste. Keep in mind, didn't have normal postal system. Didn't have a telephone, didn't have telegraph, didn't have email, didn't have Facebook. If you wanted to deliver a message, you had to travel. If you wanted to get there before the word was had otherwise, you traveled in a hurry. And she heads out. And there's no hint whatsoever, in fact, hints otherwise, that Elizabeth didn't know she was coming. And she went with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias, he was head of the house, and saluted Elizabeth. Mary didn't ask whether it was a convenient time to come, whether she'd be welcome. She showed up at the door. She assumed that her cousin would be hospitable. The house would be prepared. That she would receive a good welcome. Elizabeth must have been known for her being a housewife and didn't have to fear a knock on the door being a relative come to visit, and she didn't have time to clean up the house. Many parts of the world, it's expected among Christian ladies that the house be kept for unexpected company. That's not unbiblical. In fact, the lack of housekeeping has often been a handicap to the gospel witness. It was a problem back in the 1700s. John and Charles Wesley coined a phrase that brought a change and opened doors to the Methodist movement. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now that's not a Bible verse, but it is a Bible principle. Mary didn't worry whether Elizabeth's house would be a sight or not. She could just go and be there and walk in with her salutation, "I'm here." And Elizabeth could say, "I'm glad you're here. Can you stay a while?" And she stayed for 3 months. Now, Benjamin Franklin said, "Fish and company both smell after 3 days." But Elizabeth said, 3 months? Now think about it. She's expecting. You older people, think with me a moment. I've talked with several people on this issue. They've had a child, or they're considering a marriage where there might be children. And they say, "But look how old I am." I said to one of them, "You have any idea how old you'll be when your child graduates from high school?" They let me know it had already been on their mind and a concern. To have children when you're old is different than when you're young. You need your sleep more. It's harder to stay up all night when they're sick. It's harder to keep up with them when they get to running, or they want to do this and do that, and you're wanting to slow down, they're wanting to speed up. Tell you what, some of you face having children. At this point, it'd be a very sobering thought to your mind and to your heart. Some of you, it's exciting, and that's wonderful. God's designed it normally that way, but not so for Elizabeth and Zacharias. They're in old age and going to have a child. And they're trying to adjust to it. And they've had months, and she's been hiding herself away, trying to get adjusted. And now it's coming down to the last months. And these are not the most comfortable days to have house guests. And a relative comes to stay for 3 months that has her own difficulties of adjustment. And Elizabeth couldn't focus on herself. And she had to care for the house, the food. Maybe Mary helped some, but you have to wonder who was helping whom in these situations. Tell you, you can put strains on marriages sometimes. Long-term guests. Even short-term hospitality can put strains on homes and home life. But Elizabeth was up to all of this. She was useful in all these things. helping Mary and getting ready to raise John the Baptist for a long and hard ministry and a martyrdom where the king cut his head off. But notice that when this salutation came, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Her response was spiritual. Even the child was affected by Elizabeth, and it responded spiritually. Oh, a lot of parents should wish their children respond spiritually when somebody shows up. I've shown up, and their children didn't seem to show much spiritually, and it sort of upset the parents. I think some cases I didn't get to show up because they were fearful of the very thing. And here an unborn child's affected by the godliness of Elizabeth, even in its response to the coming of Mary. Now, we don't have time to go into all this, but let me say, is the home atmosphere like Elizabeth's, where spiritually there are proper responses to that which is of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the midst of all the struggles Elizabeth would have been having, and then the unexpected, she was close enough to God. She must have been praying regularly, caught up on her repenting and faithful in devotions. Not only for her household influence, but also without a week of preparation, she could be filled with the Holy Ghost on spot. How long would it take to get you ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost? What has to be cleaned up and cared for? She is walking on with the Lord. She'd been walking, and she was still walking. Well, you can read on. We'll not go on, but you'll find a whole lot about this lady. Holy, righteous, moral, spiritually, physically, in all realms for God and man. Kept the ordinances consistent, regular, faithful, obedient, blameless. And with all this, God said, there's one that's the kind I could use to prepare a needed preacher that's going to have an essential role in my plans, and he'll be raised without compromise, and he'll be able to stand against compromise and sin if it costs him his life, and it will. Elizabeth, you're going to have him because you're able to raise him. We could go on and see how she continued. We can see how when everybody wanted to name her son for her husband, she withstood it and stood with God, who said, his name shall be John. And they tried to get around it, and Zacharias backed her up on it. She had spiritual insight, obedience, did not let honors get in her way of doing what was right. I recommend to you Elizabeth as one of the Bible examples of the virtuous woman. Right standards, right virtues, right responses, right usefulness. She was humbled by the coming of Mary, just as she'd been humbled by the child that she was to produce. She knew humility. She knew God. And it wouldn't seem like a right home put some child in to be raised right. Never know, might be a mongoloid. Maybe handicapped. You hear those things? I've been hearing them. Old people shouldn't have children. Where would we have been without John the Baptist? Her home was right. Welcome in. Let me help you. Like they said in the hills of Ohio, come back when you can stay longer. If I'd tried to go stay 3 months, I think they would have changed their tune. Somebody come stay with you 3 months, how would you do? Especially when you're under stress. And his income didn't go up except he was looking to God, and God can take care of that. Oh, we could go into a lot of things on Elizabeth. But I think you have a picture. It's Mother's Day. And we're commanded to honor our father and our mother. And it's a whole lot easier when the father and mother are honorable. Zacharias and Elizabeth were. Some aren't. Doesn't change our responsibility to honor our father and mother. However, wherever, study it out. You're smart enough. Just work at it, rather than look for an excuse to disobey the word of God. But mothers, realize that if you obey what God lets you be, you have a privilege of not only passing on your convictions, but to influence the next generation or two to the glory of God. Children are not to be survived. They're to be developed and prepared to do something more in the future. And John the Baptist did more than Zacharias, more than Elizabeth. He'd been raised to do more, not less. That's a challenge to our day, isn't it? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help the mothers here to work through the hard times and the uncomfortable times and the awkward situations, and to give you glory in the midst. Help them to understand that if they are your children, you have something for them. Help them to accomplish it, and not to argue or debate or to try to avoid. Help them. Help the grandmothers to pray for the oncoming generations and to exercise what encouragement and influence they can to understand these things. Help the husbands to have insight into the thoughts of their wives. Parents into their children. Help us to have Christian homes and produce products that you can use in the future. Oh, Father, we are short on laborers now. And the way things are going, it looks like we're going to be even shorter. Help us to raise some more laborers together collectively as a church, assisting fathers and mothers in the loads they bear. Help us to keep our priorities straight. Now, Father, have mercy on those that walk in the world, that live by the flesh, that have never entered into your family and surrender to Jesus. Oh, Father, have mercy on them. Help them to realize that time is fleeting. And you'll not always strive with them. Help them to humble themselves before you. Help them to understand what real living is. Help them to come and surrender to your Son. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.